He had several parables this week, three more this week, a couple more coming next week. One of the things that's kind of key to have an understanding of is every time Jesus keeps referring to the kingdom of heaven, what is he talking about? What is the kingdom? I'm not going to let you off the hook. What is the kingdom? It's a little bit difficult because it's not all in one place yet. It's not totally fulfilled because you've got the understanding that goes all the way back to first century AD when it was immediately understood by the early church fathers speaking on the Gospels, who realized that the kingdom is referring by Jesus to the church. But the church isn't all in one place together yet, is it? You've got the church, those who died in a state of grace, whatever restitution they made to need to make for the sins that they had either, venial ones not forgiven, or making up for what harm they did to others, still has to be completed. That's called church suffering, church triumphant, those who are finished, and then obviously we're somewhere in the middle, aren't we? Got church triumphant, church suffering, we are church militant. And that first of today's three parables is directed at that. It's like a wheat field, and the owner of the field sows what kind of seed? Good seed, which is meant to express who? You, who have been brought into the church, baptized, confirmed, receiving communion, meant to be living, breathing, vital members of the body of Christ. But then there's this enemy who comes in the night and sneaks in under cover of darkness and sows weeds. Has that happened? One year, in the first 4 years of your 8 years of seminary formation, one of the required courses is church history, and you would not believe how colorful the church's history is. I mean, there have been some pretty spectacular weeds over the course of our history. One of them is alive and breathing and amongst the company of the 12 right as Jesus is delivering these parables. Right? His name is Judas. Complete his name, though. Be careful with it, though, because it's Judas the Iscariot. Iscariot is not his last name. It is a Hebrew word which literally translates traitor. Because it's Jesus who Judas who betrays Jesus to the Sanhedrin and the Roman authorities. He's the first major weed Satan sows into the field, and there have been plenty of others all the way down through. Are there still weeds? Oh, yeah. Back in the 1930s and 40s, there's a woman who was the head of the Communist Party, Socialist Party of America, who later on in her life in the 60s converted to Catholicism with the help of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen and became a very faithful Catholic. But in the process, she confessed to something she had been doing whilst head of the Socialist Party. They recruited 1,100 young men and sent them into the seminaries of the Catholic Church in the United States to do two primary missions. One, to corrupt the faith and the morals of those preparing to be priests. They were socialists, and we weren't the only ones. They also sent them into the other mainline Protestant denominations too. They put 1,000 socialists into the New York State Teachers Union and to other labor unions around the country. They were very busy back then. And they bore fruit. The infection that they sowed into the church starts to bear fruit in the 1950s and 60s and 70s into the mid-80s. What am I referring to? All that nastiness that started breaking in the news during the late 90s and early 2000s, and it still pops up every once in a while today, the priest abuse crisis, they weren't just socialists. She's being directed by Joseph Stalin, who is the head of the Communist Party and the leader of Communist Russia, to try to destroy the church, which Stalin especially hated beyond comprehension and wanted to bring it down. They weren't just socialists, these 1100, they were also active, predatory, same-sex attracted young men. That's why the abuse starts in the 50s and carries on into the 60s and 70s into the mid-80s. Major weeds. They did a lot of damage. They corrupted the faith and morals of a number of them, not all of them, but a number of them, so that this whole mess came about. And the goal overall was to weaken the faith of the laity and at least disillusion them so much that they would just give up and walk away, leave their faith behind. Did it work? There have been a large loss of active Catholics because of all of that mess. And it's still having effects today. Still hurting. Church went through a horrible ordeal with all of that. So that's where we just say, ugh, and we give up and we walk away and go home, right? Now, remember, there were two more parables, weren't there? In today's gospel, one dealing with mustard seeds and the other one dealing with yeast. Now, if you were a farmer back in the first century AD and you heard Jesus talk about going out and deliberately sowing mustard seed in your field, they would look at you like you had totally lost every single last marble in your head. Because mustard, if it takes root, is going to literally take over your field. It's extremely invasive, self-sows itself all over the place, and your neighbors are going to get disturbed at you, to put it mildly, because it's going to cross over your boundaries and go into their fields too. So what on earth was Jesus saying? Because he wants us to be like mustard seeds. Remember when Adam and Eve fell to Satan's temptation? Originally, the entire earth, the universe, was under their dominion, Adam and Eve. But when they fell, they literally took the whole thing and handed it over to who? Satan. So we're living in his territory right now. What he is saying is, be mustard seeds and let me use you to infiltrate his kingdom and bring the gospel into the world, and duplicates it then with the parable about the yeast. You have any idea what quantity he's speaking of when he says that there were three measures of wheat that a little yeast is kneaded into? I'm talking about 50 pounds of wheat flour kneaded into dough with a little bit of yeast. Again, that's referring to what Jesus is seeking to do to overtake and overturn Satan's kingdom by kneading us, sowing us, infiltrating us into Satan's kingdom to bring everyone that we possibly can to faith in Christ. In other words, we are meant to be the antidote to the weeds that Satan keeps trying to sow into the life of the church and transform, overtake it, and defeat Satan's work. In other words, yeah, that first parable makes things look like they've been pretty bad, and they have, but in the end, who wins? I'm looking for a more enthusiastic response there. Who has already won the war? Put it that way. He did. Satan's already defeated. He's just too proud, too stupid, and too stubborn to stop. Because he cannot, will not win. In the meantime, we're here. We are the church on earth, the church militant, and militant because we have a battle to fight. Satan's going to try to sow weed into your lives to corrupt your faith. He's still trying to corrupt the faith of the priests. But who's more powerful? I feel like I'm pulling up a 2,000-pound anchor here. Who's more powerful? Jesus is. One tiniest crumb of one consecrated host contains more power than anything else in the universe. And every time you receive communion, that's what you are getting. You are being given the power to defeat every attempt Satan makes to sow his weeds, his lies, his deceits, his destruction, his trying to put you to death. You have the power to defeat it, to cast it out, to deny it, to reject it, and to be instead the mustard seed and the yeast that will bring and knead the life of God into this world and transform it. Person by person, family by family, marriage by marriage, until the end of the age when all of the wheat is gathered into his barn, the fullness of the kingdom of God. One parable dealing with Satan's work, two dealing with God's work. Let that work be the underpinning, the foundation, the basis of your lives. Seek to be like the mustard seed, like the yeast, and let God work you into this world and overcome Satan's dominion and replace it with the dominion of God.